at Costa Rican values, including ambition, hypocrisy, and follows themes of machismo, vanity, and narcissism. Again, that's La Segua, running February 7th to March 2nd on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 7:30 and Sundays at 2 p.m. at the Milagro Theater, 525 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 8 o'clock. Coming up next on Positively Revolting, host Ani Haynes and Teresa Mitchell bravely review this week's headlines and take your calls.
Positively Revolting brings you discussion of a variety of topics from an anarcho-feminist and an eco-feminist perspective, bright and early in the morning. Hosted by Ani, she covers many topics relevant in today's day and age: activism, community building, the environment, civil rights, and many more. We are proud to say that as of February of this year, Positively Revolting has been on air for 25 years. To keep such important shows on air for as long as we can, we need our listeners' help. For every $20 you donate today at kboo.fm/give, not only are you supporting KBOO, but you are also getting an entry into our ultimate KBOO neighborhood experience. For this experience, we are giving away several gift cards to the shops in our neighborhood and a meal and a night stay right next door. Again, donate to kboo.fm/give. See full rules and details at kboo.fm.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
And good morning, good morning. It's about 3 minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. You are tuned to KBOO Portland, your very own community radio station. I'm Ani, and this morning I am very, very happy that Teresa Mitchell has joined me once again in the studio here of KBOO. Teresa, the host of Press Watch on Thursday mornings, and in the interest of absolute transparency, my beloved partner of some 24 years or something like that.
Howdy, partner.
Howdy.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
So, Teresa has joined me in the studio this morning to help us review the news. The headlines of this week have left me kind of spinny and, you know, a little sick. The news is fairly dire. We have a lot to talk about, and we are inviting your calls because we would like for you to also have a chance to comment on the news, on the state of the world, on what is happening around us, what you are doing to make it better, what is the thing that is really sticking in your craw. So to just sort of launch, the major areas that have really caught my attention this week would be, children in detention centers. That's right. The continuing revelations around how our treatment of juveniles in detention, especially when we're looking at immigrant children, asylum seekers, that not only are now it's coming out, you know, again, an increased number of babies being held in detention, babies without adequate care. That would be pretty abysmal in and of itself. But now we're also seeing stories of increased awareness of sexual assault amongst the are perpetrated on the youth in detention centers. That is not a new thing, that assaults have happened to detained populations, people in detention, since detention began. I think it's you know, one of those really sick parts of humanity. And yet when we're talking about detaining children for no reason other than being brought across a border with their family in search of new opportunities and or asylum, then to have forcible detention and on top of that sexual assault is absolutely outrageous. And I am heartsick and beyond angered by that situation. So there's a lot to talk about with the detention centers. There's a lot to talk about with youth detention. Then there's also, well, this imperialist war that is shaping up with Venezuela, since the coup seems to have, the attempted imposed coup seems to not have taken hold. It looks like increased saber rattling and war in South America. We also have the Cohen hearings this week. And one thing I will say about that is, once again, we see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez really outdoing other members of Congress with her laser questioning of Cohen.
Oh, boy, did she.
That was possibly one thing that gave me hope this week. And let's see, there was one last thing. Oh, my goodness, what is it? Oh, well, there's the threat of nuclear war. There's the fact that the U.S. is backing out of a nuclear ban treaty at the same time that we see Pakistan and India coming very close to really a precipice of true stupidity in nuclear response and nuclear tensions. Those are a few of the things on my mind here at first. And then, of course, closer to home, we also have revelations around the Portland police and how they do, in fact, seemingly favor the radical right in protests. It's not just our imagination. There's texts to prove it now. There's all of this and so much more. What are you thinking, Teresa?
Well, I'm thinking it's all connected, especially when we look at the cruelty of the baby jail. You know, the term baby jail is used to refer to playpens until now. And now we have such a cruel circumstance. We have gone so fascist that baby jail is real jail. And we have babies being ripped away from the hands of their parents so that they can be deformed into individuals who have no sense of security, whatever, who change their name, lose their culture, forget the names of their parents, and are literally sold to different individuals to be raised, adopted, This is sickening, but it's intended to be sickening. It's part of the cruelty of our new fascist rulers. And I was just commenting yesterday on my show, which I will now promote, called Press Watch, which runs at 9 o'clock on KBOO 90.7, KBOO.fm, and on Thursdays. I was saying this is all of a piece, because President Trump has painted himself in a corner. He can and will be indicted once he loses, leaves office. And he was never inclined to leave office, if you listen to what his former fixer and enforcer, Michael Cohen, said. So probably he doesn't intend to leave, and this could lead to a bloody fight, could lead to a civil war. I think Trump is enough of a narcissist not to give a damn about that, so long as he stays in office. So we have a regime of cruelty, and the cruelty, as I was saying, isn't arbitrary. It isn't... it's not an accident. It's not a quirk. It has two effects. One, it is intended to terrify people coming into the country. I don't know how effective that is. But the other effect, the very effective part, is that it allows his cult, the Trump cult, the MAGA cult, to double down on doing wrong things and on their cruelty and on their sadism. And this is the way cults work. When you're on the inside of a cult, the cult leaders will want to make you say more outrageous things that are obviously false, that only you and the insiders in the cult know the secret key, that it's really true, you know, that you really are related to, you know, UFOs or whatever they want to say. And they also want you to do horrible things together. This is the same as being in a mob, something else Trump is very, very familiar with, because the more you do horrible things together and excuse it to yourselves, the more that feeling rises within your psyche that you can't afford to leave that cult, because then you would be called to account for the atrocities that you have committed collaboratively and collectively. And this is exactly what's going on with tearing families apart and making parents and children scream and sob and deforming their lives and engaging in this sort of horribly cruel activity. It's not a mistake, and it tells you that we have gone too far along the path of fascism, and now we are in the deep stuff, as I may say, on FCC-regulated airspace, the kind of stuff that you don't want to step on in the yard. We're in that real deep.
Indeed. And, you know, there's, of course, I would be remiss if I did not also point out the climate crisis, the existential crisis that threatens us all, that is now being really bravely fought on the backs of our children, right? Teenagers stepping up to elected officials and leaders around the world and saying, there is actually a wonderful quote, that there is no point in studying for a future that doesn't exist, right? That is really powerful. And I think that it's, you know, important to recognize that it is the next generation that will be the most impacted from the behaviors of the last generations. And that this is the world that we are leaving the youth to inherit. I am outraged by Senator Feinstein's response to youth who were confronting her about the need to take decisive action, strong action, action like the Green New Deal, and to support that resolution, who just basically sneered at the youth that visited her in her office, saying that, you know, they didn't vote for her, she doesn't represent them, she knows more than they do, she's got experience, what do they know, they're just a bunch of kids. Well, you know, that, again, that is an attitude of the status quo that has to go. And I am really just cheered, I don't know, heartened to see that there is, in fact, global strikes to draw attention to the state of the climate and the environment, you know, being put forth by youth today. So that is, there's also that happening. with March 15th being a major date for school walkouts and actions around the globe. So call on in with your questions, with your comments. What's on your mind this morning? Is it imperialist war? Is it the crimes against humanity in the detention centers? Is it the existential crisis of the climate and the environment, the world burning around us? Perhaps you have something else entirely. Looking at the need to roll back nukes and to actually engage in nuclear agreements where we, in fact, start disarmament campaigns. That seems kind of important, especially in light of the very heightened tensions between India and Pakistan. You know, we have so much at stake, whether it's the environment or nuclear annihilation. It's really, we are facing existential crisis. How do we continue? What do we do? How do we actually get up in the morning, get dressed, brush our teeth, go to work, and sort of have lives that seem relatively normal when in fact nothing is normal around us, when we are facing the end of the world in a couple of different ways with more and more despots taking charge? This is not normal. How do we get through this together? 503-231-8187 is the number to call this morning. Join us and let us know what you're thinking, and we'll be happy to talk with you. Also, just to let you know that you can follow Positively Revolting on Facebook. You can follow us where we are, in fact, Positively Revolting, or in the Twitterverse, you can find us at Positive Revolt. Let's go ahead and talk to Mike. Good morning, Mike. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you doing?
No, okay.
I've got some really bad news for you.
Okay, there's even more bad news. All right, hit me.
He's going to be pardoned. So one of his cronies or somebody is going to pardon the SOB. I swear. And I got one other point I want to make. Jimmy Carter goes around the third world doing election camp, checking on elections. He will not do the United States because of the way our system is. It's so corrupt.
All right. Okay,
Mike.
Thank you. Thanks very much for calling.
Well, those are good points. I hope that, if it's the only way, then I'd prefer to see Trump get Pence to pardon him as Nixon got Ford to pardon him. It's not ideal, but it beats the heck out of having a dictatorship.
Well, yeah, there's that. 503-231-8187. It's as if those are our two choices. This is, again, a week that makes my head spin. Good morning, Ken. Let's talk to you next. Ken, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for hearing me. There is everything you mentioned. The root of everything you mentioned has one problem, and that is the apathy of the people.
Is that the one root of everything? Okay.
Everything. If the people would stand up and say no, it wouldn't happen, would it?
Well,
constantly, we are being shown. In the 60s, they wanted this. The people stood up and it happened in a day. They wanted that. They stood up. It happened in a week. Here, we just get rolled over.
Can you be more specific? Because I'm thinking of the efforts to shut down atmospheric testing or the efforts to shut down the Vietnam War, which took a long, bloody struggle.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand that. But you did not have the support of the people. You had a handful of people out there being radicals, making a whole lot of noise, and everybody else said, oh, look at how crazy they are. And they actually believed their government.
Yeah, I do think that the apathy is a major problem. And apathy is fueled by people being overwhelmed and people being confused, by people not having access to good media, independent reporting. All of these things play into that.
The reporting has got to change.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do think it is super important to look at no business as usual. Really, what is it going to take? We know that we are committing crimes against humanity in our name, right now in detention centers at the southern border, while the president throws around this fake state of emergency, and even his quote opposition party end quote,
right.
You know, parrot the line that there is something urgent to be dealt with in border security, and I think that that is phenomenal, right? That suddenly even folks who are opposing Trump like to lead off a lot of their statements with that there is an urgent situation that we have to deal with at the border, and they're not talking about the detention centers. I don't know, right. You know, what they're talking about. It's playing into
perhaps the border wall is meant to keep us in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there may be that. So, Ken, thank you again. What is it going to take for people to become active by, you know, in large part to
reunity
break out?
Reunity of the nation. A reunity of the people. United we stand.
Okay. And how do we do that, Ken? What's your ideas?
Well, door to door. Don't be afraid to say hello to people.
Yeah.
Open the door for somebody at the grocery store. Somebody dropped something. Pick it up. Oh, here you go. Positive action will bring out positive results.
All right. Very good. Thanks very much, Ken, for your call this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. 503-231-8187, the number to call. You, too, can join us on the air. What are your thoughts about the news of this week? My goodness, it's been a week. I want to remind folks that Linda Tirado, you know, who is a wonderful author and analyst of current events, she mentioned when she was our guest back in right after the inauguration in 2017, she mentioned that it's time to start keeping truth journals so that we can track from week to week, from day to day, what's happening and remember that it's not normal, because
it would
we get swept aside, you know, and or swept along with these with the current up headlines. And all of a sudden, it sort of seems like we've always been here when we have not. You were saying?
I think it would be really great if we could say, you know, do something unusual, like take this old technology of radio and create this community radio station where you could reliably tune into it and hear someone debunk the stories of the day, you know, the nonsense, the imperialism, the patriarchy, the fascism. You know, wouldn't it be great if there could be like this radio station owned by the community that would just be there 24/7, and on weekday mornings you could tune in, say, and get public affairs.
I think that would be a great idea.
I do too.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we already have that. That's cool.
That's right.
503-231-8187. Let's go ahead and talk to Annalisa. Good morning, Annalisa.
Good morning, both of you. And it's going to be a beautiful day. The veil was lifted from Dianne Feinstein's face when she accosted those children. And
that was so despicable.
Really, I was shocked. But anyway, the articulation on Democracy Now, when Amy Goodman interviewed some of those children, was their articulation was so phenomenal that you can only have the highest respect for 10, 12, and 16-year-olds, which, you know, my granddaughter is one of those. So anyway, it's a beautiful day. And I think in the nearest future, as many millions of people can support Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez,
because she will be not only the youngest person, but she will be the first democratic socialist person, which has nothing to do with communism. I have tried to explain that to people.
Yeah.
But of course, that's the propaganda that people that some people will try to make you believe. And when they make socialism a dirty word, the biggest corporation, the richest man, Bezos from Amazon, he has the best social. He doesn't pay any taxes. So if the richest man in the world can avoid paying most of his taxes in the United States, that is the bad form of capitalism. So thank you very much, and
thank
enjoy
you.
The day.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye-bye.
I have news on Ocasio-Cortez, if you want it.
Please.
Well, in addition to her outstanding set of questions during the House Oversight Committee hearing yesterday, she was, well, let's see, the article that I'm reading from is from New York Post. She was among House Democrats who laced into moderates Thursday, by which they mean she set herself against corporate Democrats, threatening to run with those who side with Republicans out of office in the 2020 primaries. She led the charge in a closed-door session, saying some of her colleagues are putting themselves on a list, her corporate-friendly colleagues. She suggested she would help activists unseat moderates in the next election. I thought that was very encouraging. The quote is... The reporter is named Trent. She said that when activists asked her why she had to vote for a gun safety bill that also further empowers an agency that forcibly injects kids with psychotropic drugs, they're going to want a list of names, and she's going to give it to them. So this is the first serious within the party effort I've seen to call out corporate Democrats for who and what they are, and I find it pretty encouraging. And Nancy Pelosi is very upset about it. She urged unity within the party, advising her colleagues, either we are a team or we're not.
Yeah, so she should get with the program, shouldn't she?
Yeah.
I agree, Nancy. Get with it and bring that unity on. You can do it, Nance. It's not too late for you, though it might be too late for Dianne Feinstein. The Youth Strikes for Climate movement is not a centrally organized movement, but is in fact becoming global, right? And again, this is sort of why I'm saying it might be too late for Dianne Feinstein. If you don't know about the interaction she had with a group of youth seeking, you know, to have a planet to live on as they age, and her sneering back at them, you should seek that out. It is the naked face of the status quo, and it's ugly. But there is, in fact, FridaysForFuture.org that you can check out. That is where youth are registering actions for a strike, a global walkout, excuse me, to take place on March 15th. And that is happening now in 51 countries. Right. There are 44 strikes in the U.S. and one in Mexico. There are 351 strikes throughout Europe and the Middle East. 33 of them are in the U.K. There are 58 in Italy, 38 strikes in Australia, one in New Zealand, and 17 throughout South America, in Chile, Uruguay, Paraguay, Peru, and Brazil. Jonas Campos is a 17-year-old student activist from Switzerland, and he says, for people under 18 in most countries, the only democratic right we have is to demonstrate. We don't have representation. To study for a future that will not exist does not make sense. And that is why he is striking to draw attention and to galvanize action to mitigate climate change.
Meanwhile, the billionaires are getting on the ball and really ramping up their effort to destroy any efforts to prevent major climate change. Reading from the Huffington Post article by Chris D'Angelo, the GOP mega donor family that gave more than $15 million to President Donald Trump's 2016 campaign maintained its position as key funder of climate change denial in 2017, dishing out $5 million to nonprofits and think tanks that peddle misinformation about the global crisis, according to their latest tax records. That's from the Mercer family, including a $170,000 donation to the CO2 Coalition, a right-wing think tank that argues Earth benefits from humans pumping carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. And I just want to say that sort of thing is very effective, because when you've got that kind of funding, you can get on the ads, you can get on the various screens on the television, the radio, whatever, and set the agenda by pumping out your arguments and your misinformation and getting people to react to that and saying, well, you know, is this true and why isn't that true and this, that, and the other. It's really effective, and that's what we're up against. So I would say that getting together with your fellow students and walking out of class is not an excessive action under these circumstances. You really don't have the kind of access to the corporate-owned media that these billionaires do.
Indeed. Let's go ahead and talk to LJ. LJ, you are on the air.
Hey, Ani. Hey, Teresa.
Hey,
how
LJ.
Are you?
Good, good.
Ani and Teresa, the dynamic duo. Woo! All right, so here's the deal. This is from the January 1st edition of the Nation magazine. And the headline reads, Exposing the Pentagon's Massive Accounting Fraud. Spending keeps rising while the Defense Department cooks the books.
Mm.
All right, so anyway, according to this article, being that the Defense Department refuses to audit itself, Ernst & Young, the accounting firm, was hired to audit the DOD, and they had to, and they threw up their hands and said it was impossible because of the way that the Defense Department cooks the books. There is no accounting for their spending. They get 54 cents out of every dollar, Ani and Teresa.
And they've been doing it for so long that they literally have trillions in reserves that they draw without
now,
congressional oversight.
Okay, in September of 2017, Chuck Grassley, the conservative Republican from Iowa, said on the floor of the Senate that for 26 years, the Defense Department has been foot-dragging about being audited. They haven't been audited for 26 years. Now, there's more to this than $700 hammers and $400 toilet seats. Considering that the DOD uses enormous amounts of fossil fuel, they are allowed to pollute the environment, and they are exempt from any oversight whatsoever. And I simply thought I would throw that out there, and just two more quick things. All right, Ani and Teresa.
Yeah.
Every time when there's a hierarchy, eventually it'll become an oligarchy. And one more thing, MGMA, y'all. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you so very much, LJ, for your call. I agree. Hierarchies do tend to become oligarchies. That's why I'm against them. By and large, I think that it's important to really question hierarchy and question authority and then some. Let's go ahead and talk to our next caller, Francis. Good morning. You are on the air.
Hello, fine people.
Hello, Francis.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is pretty awesome. And I agree. Her questioning during that hearing was to the point. Short, sweet, and just the facts, please. And she got them without a lot of political grandstanding. I just saw this morning on the news that the Republicans are having some kind of a big base meeting of all their people, and there are a lot of speakers are there, including Pence and all these senators. And the new villain is she, which is interesting. It's not Nancy Pelosi anymore. It's AOC. She's now their focus, which is kind of awesome, actually.
Yeah, she answers them rather rather tartly, doesn't she?
She's making waves that are scaring them. And I just saw a piece the other day where she and Bernie Sanders and Warren actually are not radical left. They actually are more centrist because they represent the majority of the people in the policies that they're advocating. And they're just being labeled extreme.
Yeah, and they appear extreme to them because, you know, our oligarchy is so extreme and has been in power for so long that, you know, anything rational popping up looks like extreme.
Exactly. And she just, I just saw today that she is calling for an investigation into the banks that finance the immigrant prisons. And that, they can just take that a little bit farther and just look at the entire prison industry. That industrial complex is making money off of people being incarcerated. And that makes the people collateral, and that's New Age slavery to me.
Mm-hmm.
I keep trying to figure out how can we get to the point where we don't have to deal with this anymore. And I really do believe that it has to do with corporations being given the same status as people.
Yeah.
When they are not people at all.
Yeah.
And somehow that has been construed in the law to be legitimate, and it is not at all. So I'm hoping that some kind of way, just to where we can get past the struggle, to where we can actually call it what it is, corporate greed, corporate, you know, international corporate greed.
Yeah,
you know,
well, I think you're on the right track there.
Right.
I think that people generally need to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I would just like to see people acknowledge the fact that in the United States, most of the population has been economically screwed. I mean, you look at the numbers in your bank account or something, I'm not sure how it exactly works, and you convince yourself that, as Steinbeck said, you're a temporarily embarrassed millionaire. No, you're someone who's working two jobs and is one paycheck away from living on the sidewalk. And we can't accept that anymore.
No, and the corporations, I want people to get the same rights and privileges that corporations have. You know, if we're going to play fair, you know, and talk about equal protection under the law, then how come people go to prison for the things that corporations do?
Yeah.
Corporations, you can't put a corporation in prison because it's not a person.
Right.
And you can't, a corporation has no conscience other than short-term profit. That's their conscience.
Right.
And these wars that are going on around the world are all for some corporation to make bank off of war. And meanwhile, the people are suffering, and these sanctions that are put on countries like Venezuela and Korea and Libya are intended to supposedly to get the regime people change or whatever, but all it does is hurt the people.
Yeah.
And then when there is a regime change, the people are hurt even more. So it's, you know, these corporations need to be put in check, and I'm not sure if I have to go back to law school and figure out a way to take it to the Supreme Court. I guess that's what I'll have to do, but it seems like there should be somebody doing that now, because they have much more power and much more rights than the people have, and that is totally wrong if we believe in what the Constitution says. You know, it's power to the people, not corporations.
Yep. Absolutely. Francis, right. Thank you so much for your call.
Sure, I agree.
You
I mean,
take care.
I can think of an example, the Time Warner AT&T merger is just grossly in violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act. The law's there, it's not being enforced. There is an official excuse that's been around for a long time, but it's an excuse. And so we allow this to happen basically because we've allowed it to happen for a long time. There's no logic to it.
Indeed. Hey, I want to let folks know what's coming up. I also want to give that number out again, 503-231-8187, the number to call to join us on the air this morning as Teresa and I review headlines, news, and information, what's going on in the world, what's going on in your world, and how are you getting through this time? This has been one heck of a week, which is, you know, sort of just there in one heck of a couple months of this new year, in a very interesting time, right? It just sort of seems to get a little bit worse day by day. Coming up at 9 o'clock, you can hear Pacific Underground. Portland financial advisor Chin-Chen Kuo answers financial questions specific to the local Asian and Pacific Islander communities. At 10 o'clock, Valley Views will be on, and Dale Holliday unapologetically assesses her experience with so-called progressives in Corvallis. At 10:15, you can hear Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock, Radio Geekly, an audio potluck of all things in the geek world. All of these programs are made possible by member support. You can contribute to KBOO right now by going to kboo.fm. I happen to know that we are in the midst of a three-day raffle. So right now, you can go to kboo.fm/give and get a raffle ticket. You could do that. Check out all the fine prizes. It's actually prizes based on the neighborhood in which KBOO finds itself. Check out the information on our website, kboo.fm, and avail thyself of a raffle ticket and your chance to win. Let's go ahead and talk to Jack. Good morning, Jack. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was calling to see if Teresa knew something that I missed and that I picked up in a feed someone sent me recently, in an article at Global Research. I read, and I couldn't believe I missed this, and I even searched in the mainstream media, but everywhere I searched, a lot of places, and I couldn't find any mention of this. We all heard about Trump pulling the U.S. out of the INF treaty on the, I believe, on the 2nd of February. That made the news. But what I couldn't find that did make the news was that on the very next day, three countries, the largest nuclear arsenals, quickly launched test-launched nuclear-capable missiles. France conducted a test of its medium-range air-to-surface missile on February 4. The next day, the U.S. fired a Minuteman III continental ballistic missile. And then an hour and a half later, Russia launched an RS-24 YARS ICBM. There's not many of these tests done anymore, but suddenly, as soon as this treaty is canceled, there we go, three tests right mm-hmm. in a row. And then Russia announces that it's going to start building medium-range missiles. And did anybody hear anything about this in the news anywhere?
Well, there's Pakistan conducted a nuclear-capable ballistic test.
Yeah, I know the Pakistan thing. Did anybody hear about France, U.S., and Russia running these tests the day after this treaty was canceled?
Are we talking about 25 days ago?
Yeah, February 4th.
Vandenberg February Air Force 2nd, Base conducted a Minuteman III missile test launch. That was on News Hawk. Let's see.
February 4th.
February 4th, okay.
Right.
Yeah, that's about right. Okay, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's not surprising to me.
That sort of gesture I would expect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because covering things actually does alert people. And alerting people, well, you know, is not something that serves the interests of the status quo.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just surprised that this was missed. I searched mainstream media to see if this was covered. This was in Global Research, by the way, this article, but it didn't come out until February 17th.
Well, Global Research, I confess I look at it from time to time, but they do not exclude some rabidly anti-Semitic content from time to time, so I don't like to broadcast that name without...
Or anti-Zionist.
No, I mean anti-Semitic. I don't mind anti-Zionist. It's perfectly okay to be against the idea of a permanent Jewish enclave, but to, you know, to be against the Jews. I mean, some of it is just poorly edited. I mean, some of the stuff that they run, it looks like they just don't look at it at all. And I think that at the top, I can't think of his name, just doesn't give a damn. So,
but I think that what Teresa is saying here is it's always good to check sources and know the whole source. I think that's what you're saying, Teresa.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I come across something that strikes me as being really, really off, then I'll question it and start looking a little deeper And in fact, lately I've been I got myself in trouble with friends on the left and on the right by challenging the memes that they throw up on their Facebook feeds. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think Chudzinski really spends time looking at what he's publishing sometimes. And
well,
that's being kind. He's anti-Semitic.
I agree. His staff is probably not as thorough as they should be.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Jack, for your call this morning. And we got, just about 14 minutes left. 503-231-8187, the number to call. You are listening to KABU, your community radio station. I'm Ani. I'm here with Teresa Mitchell.
Morning.
And this is Positively Revolting. We are here reviewing the news of the week. It's hard sometimes just even letting it all sink in. I get it. It's super easy to want to play ostrich and to want to really disassociate from what is happening around us, because what is happening around us, by and large, is pretty dire. Whether we're talking about crimes against humanity being perpetrated at the borders by our government towards folks who are seeking asylum and a new life because they are escaping the aftermath of our 30 years of imperialist wars in Central America. Oh, just about the same time that we are saber-rattling for another imperialist war in Venezuela.
I have more information on that, by the way.
And then we have the climate change. Then we have nuclear proliferation. Then we have what's happening right here in Portland with the Portland police cozying up to the Patriot Prayer Group. And in fact, a great article in The Guardian showing that coziness very starkly. I've just posted that article to the Positively Revolting Facebook page. You can, in fact, follow Positively Revolting throughout the week on Facebook. You can also find us in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt. What is your news, Teresa?
Oh, well, from Radio Havana, Cuba, Mexico's President Andres Manuel López Obrador has proposed his country as the venue for dialogue between the Venezuelan government and the opposition to find a peaceful resolution. And I think that's interesting because, we hear about all these countries that support the U.S. and its imperial effort, but we don't hear that Mexico right next door does not think it's such a great idea. And I would prefer that Obrador were instead saying that the United States should sit down with the United Nations and explain why they're suddenly trying to aggress on Venezuela, because that indeed is what is happening, despite what you might hear on OPB, which covers the... Oh, why should I be kind about it? OPB is just rabidly imperialist when it comes to Venezuela and has been for many other things over the years. I mean, it's blood-dripping airwaves, and that's one of my biggest criticisms of them and of NPR. That conformity does extend to U.S. armed imperialism. But returning to the Radio Havana article, the doors of our territory are open for dialogue and intermediation so that there can be dialogue carried out by Uruguayans, many diplomats of the world, the United Nations, including Pope Francis. That's according to the Mexican president. And he's quoted saying, "I respectfully call on parties in the conflict to sit down and dialogue and seek a peaceful solution. I can do that because the Constitution speaks of the peaceful settlement of disputes, not polarization, not confrontation, not manipulation, much less to violence." So that's there in Radio Havana, Cuba. And also, Venezuela is desperately trying to beat the sanctions regime that has been imposed on it by the United States, trying to get its people fed. Mentioned yesterday that they are accepting aid from various sources, just not the politicized aid from the U.S., but they're also trying to sell their gold. They've been thwarted in doing that. Their planes have been intercepted. The Bank of England was convinced to hold Venezuelan gold, Venezuelan gold and not release it. And so there's an article in Reuters saying that the Venezuelan government is trying to ship out the gold on the down low. They're trying to sneak it out. There's gold mined in Venezuela, which is one of the reasons why the U.S. corporations and the corporate-owned government here is trying to invade. 8 tons of gold were removed from Venezuelan central banks' vaults last week, according to 3 government sources and an opposition legislator, which told Reuters. Latest sign of President Nicolas Maduro's desperation to raise hard currency amid tightening sanctions.
There's a lot to follow there. Let's go ahead. We have the bases loaded and only about 10 minutes left, so let's give some folks a chance to join us. Natalie is next. Good morning, Natalie. You're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies. Thank you for the show. I wanted to reply to a previous caller called Frances, mm-hmm. and she brought up the issue of corporate personhood and how corporations can basically use the Bill of Rights and our 4th Amendment to circumvent regulation and limits on their misdeeds, all of the waste and abuse of the environment and people that they do. And I wanted to let Francis know that there are a couple of groups in Portland that are starting to organize or organize around that issue. One of them is Move to Amend. Another one is Community Rights. And the Pacific Green Party are all involved in this issue, and I think Wolfpack as well. And yesterday night, they held an event at the Just Bob Cafe around that issue. So we're starting to organize around that issue. And if anybody's interested in the issue of corporate personhood and how corporations use our Constitution and the Bill of Rights to circumvent being regulated, basically being reined in, we're going to be at the Women's March rally on Sunday, and we're going to meet at the cafe from the Portland Art Museum around 10:30 if they wanted to join in and get involved in that action. That's okay. All I just wanted to say.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Natalie. And thanks for calling. 503-231-8187. Just a few minutes to go, and we have Linda with us. Good morning, Linda. You're on the air. Hi, good morning, Linda.
I need to take you off speaker.
Yeah, good.
Hi. I want to talk about something I saw in the news, but it was really about the week before, and that was all of the women dressing in white at the State of the Union.
Uh-huh.
And I realized I had actually turned off watching it when they were all on their feet with everybody else applauding militarism and warfare and going USA, USA. And I think there is a problem to... I really, really, really admire AOC, as do you. But I think we have to be really clear that we do not want to encourage any of this glittery patriotism, and certainly not the fascism, but not the other sort of all-American obsession of patriotism and with the military. And,
yeah.
Excuse me, my dog's barking. So I just wanted to say that, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, sure. I think it is super important not to be swept away with imperialism and with wars and stuff. But I'm also really not thinking that AOC is apt to be doing that. And most especially, it's not like, do I have a favorite junior Congress rep? No. Because, in fact, who I see is really the triumvirate. AOC, as well as Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are the three, and they're not the only three, but they are reinforcing each other in a way to call out plain truth. Ilhan Omar's questioning of Elliot Abrams 2 weeks ago was phenomenal. That she just flat out called him on his past imperialist war crimes and his past perjury in front of Congress while talking about Venezuela. That was something I never actually expected to see from any sitting Congress rep, most especially somebody who's been sitting for, 3 months now. Ilhan Omar amazes me. She is actually, she's my hero. I love her. And AOC too. I don't see them being duped. I see them doing the minimal amount needed to retain their seats, basically. If that means standing up when other people stand up, yeah, okay, maybe they're going to stand up when other people stand up. But listen to their questions, listen to their words, and they are not backing down, they are not compromising, and they are not applauding American imperialism nor militarism. We've seen Ilhan Omar calling on cutting calling for a cut, a $20 billion cut to border security and ICE as a way of bringing spending in line with morality and ethics, as she has put it. Watch these folks. I am really heartened by their actions. Let's go ahead and talk to Richard. Richard, I think you're probably going to be our last caller as we have only about 4 minutes left. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you. And thank you for getting together on the radio. I think it's been called for a long time and you're responding. I want to give people three numbers from the Oregon Revised Statutes, and I want to call for Teresa to maybe do a show on these numbers. So if you could write these down, I would really appreciate it. I don't have a lot of time to talk, but they are the definitions of person, as in those who are capable of doing business. In the Oregon Revised Statutes, in statutory construction, the chapter on statutory construction, we have at 174
okay.
point 100 subsection, that's with parentheses, subsection 6, the definition of person.
All right. Hey, thanks, Richard. And for anything else, I'm just going to go ahead and recommend that you can email us, and that would be at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. positivelyrevolting@gmail.com. Email us, give us those statutes, and we can check them out later. Thanks for your call. So this, again, quite the week. I want to just sort of leave folks with, what are you doing? What are you doing to make the world a better place? It is on fire. It is so important to get active and to passionately work to make the changes that need to happen. Whatever it is that seems most pressing to you, whether that's climate change, whether that's looking for a nuclear freeze again, nuclear disarmament. I can't believe we're talking about this again. Whether that is stopping another U.S. imperialist war of aggression, or bringing the Portland police in line with how we expect community policing and responsible policing to support the people. I don't know, all of these things, they're pretty pressing. It's hard for me to say that one is more important than another, but I know that we are more effective when we actually focus, and each one focuses on what is hitting them the hardest to actually make that change. What do you think, Therese?
I think the police are part of the encroaching fascism under Trump, and it's important to look up portlandcopwatch.org.
Yep. Peace and justice, right? Peace and justice works?
Yeah.
All right. I think you need to check that URL. And with that, we're almost out of time, and I want to check the URL now. Now. Talk, Teresa, talk.
Okay, well, I've already shut my computer, so look up Portland Peace and Justice in a search bar then, and you'll find it.
Well, I was just hoping you'd talk while I actually looked, because I have a computer here, but that's okay. You know, working together well. Just because we've been married for 24 years doesn't mean we actually take cues from each other very well at all. But I do thank you, Teresa, for joining me this morning. And thank you so much, dear listeners, for joining us. Get active. Stay active. It is so important. And right now, stay tuned for Pacific Underground and all manner of great programs coming up on your community radio station, KBOO. Go to kboo.org/give and check out the raffle that's going on right now. Avail thyself. And win fabulous prizes if you can. All right. Thanks so much. And we'll be back next week.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of a live performance by Antonio Rey on Thursday, March 7th from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Old Church Concert Hall in Portland. Antonio Rey is one of the leading flamenco guitarists of Spain today. Rey will be with flamenco dancer and singer Mara Rey. Again, that's Antonio Rey on Thursday, March 7th from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. at the Old Church Concert Hall, 1422 Southwest 11th in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Support KBOO by entering the Unlimited KBOO Neighborhood Raffle. For the next 2 days, we are raffling off a package to a lucky winner to experience our great KBOO Neighborhood. For every $20 you donate at kboo.fm/give, you will gain one entry. The package includes several gift cards to shops in our community, including Grandel's Cafe, Hammer & Nails, Hades Vintage, and Sizzle Pie, and a meal and night stay at the Dog Fur and Jupiter Hotel. Again, for the next 2 days, participate in the Unlimited KBOO Neighborhood Raffle. Donate today at kboo.fm/give.
This is KBOO Portland. It's coming up on 9:01 a.m., and that means on the first Friday of the month, we get Pacific Underground with Portland financial advisor Sin Chang Kuo. My apologies for the extent and nature of my mispronunciations there. Answers financial questions specific to the local Asian and Pacific Islander communities. That means they'll be taking